Our gospel lesson tonight comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 39 through 43. It begins, "One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, 'Don't you fear God, seeing that you've been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus replied, 'I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise.'" Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, as we look at these words today, we ask that you just grant wisdom on our heart as we proclaim you as our righteous King. So as we end this Wednesday night Lenten service and this season, may you guide us out of our wilderness into new hope and to the resurrection. Even though we still have a week of meal and death, we know in the end we will see you rise again. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The place of the skulls, Golgotha. It is a well-known place. It is a place where the state is doing what the state does best, which is this: making an example. You have heard me say this before numerous times. This isn't about punishment. Rather, it is warning. Warning the people that if they step outside of the line, there is a place for them. The cross is a billboard, one that says, "Step outside of the lines, you will be next. So don't resist, because if you do, you will become disposable." On that day, there was not just one cross, but three. Jesus is in the middle, with two criminals on either side, their bodies out in the open air in submission. Some might think that in this moment, it is all about a certain religious act, but no, it is political. And for Luke, Jesus is now a part of the political system, one filled with state violence, which seems all too familiar. Crucifixion was harsh, and Rome wasn't afraid to hang someone from a cross. Instead of prison, a cross. Instead of racialized policing, a cross. Immigration detention, a cross. All those things rolled up into public execution, all based on control. And maybe you're asking, where is God in all of this? I can say this: God is not the judge, not the governor, not the general. God is rather smack dab in the middle as a condemned human being, which ponders a question from one of the criminals on the side of him. He says, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." What a plea. Or maybe that desperate hope for deliverance. I'm sure you hear the same cry from those who have been caged, deported, brutalized, and even the forgotten. "If you are who you say you are, why are you still here?" When the man on the other side realizes what is happening. So he interrupts, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you've also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, but this man in the middle has done nothing wrong." The second criminal turns toward Jesus, not in triumph, not in certainty, but in bare and simple hope. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. If you think about this short confession, all it really is simply a man who knows what his future is, dying on a cross. And the current regime is not there to help reconcile the man. So why not at the last moment in your life dare to believe that what Jesus offers might be different than the Romans? Remember me. In a world that is designed to erase existence, he asked Jesus to be held in sacred memory. So Jesus acknowledges the man, saying this, I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. Just listen to that again. I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. The man can foresee what Jesus has in store for him, and what is in store will not happen someday, nor will it happen after he is fully rehabilitated. Not once your record is cleared. But today, this is what Jesus is about, the forgiveness that he brings. For Jesus, it was never about another's guilt. He doesn't claim that the man is not worthy because of what he has done. It is not about the worst act he has done, declaring it his truest nature. Even when the empire says, "What you have done," it is Jesus saying, you are who I remember you to be. But I want to speak more about this paradise, because I think many get it wrong. You see, paradise is not an escape from the cross. Rather, what it is presence on the cross. When Jesus says, with me, there is no promise of a distant heaven. Rather, what he promises is companionship. In a world which views this man as someone who has no hope, let's look at what is happening in the world as we speak. There's immigrants in cages. Grace does show up on death row. And through the hardest moments in our lives, the kingdom appears, breaking open in a body marked for disposal. What I'm saying is this, that we live in a world where cages are normalized. In prison, we have well over 2 million people that live in cages, where skin colors are viewed as threats, where a place called Alligator Alcatraz exists, where the systems that are supposed to help, in turn, they make the people invisible. These are modern-day crucifixions. Public warning disguised as public safety. But through it all, there is something that happens. This promise that whatever happens, and through it all, that Jesus will be with us. And the first person to ever receive that promise was no other than that man. A man who was a criminal. A man who was hung to a cross to the side of Jesus. And that's something we can learn from tonight. We can learn that when it comes to faith, it has never been about being the best person in the room or staying out of trouble. Because Jesus explicitly informs us that he approaches death. His closest companion is someone who society has thrown away. It makes one rethink the concept of what righteousness is compared to respectability. Friends, tonight as we end our time on these Wednesday nights, I want us to think about something. I want us to think about how we can all be better. You understand what I'm asking? How can we be better? We're disciples here in Motley and the surrounding area doing what God calls us to do. So how can we be better? How can the crosses of our lives reflect on compassion? Compassion for those who feel like they are not like us. Because when we put people into that box, or when we hang them on a cross, or we put them into a cage, we need to realize that Jesus, he isn't hovering above those who we see as criminals. Rather, what he is doing is hanging right in the middle. When we follow Jesus, it is about drawing him into those places rather than pushing him away. But here is our last challenge. Where is our wisdom in all of this? Because it isn't about if we are bad people. Rather, what it is all about is this. What kind of world crucifies people and calls it justice? Because the gospel, it isn't political. The gospel, it is political. What it isn't is partisan. Friends, tonight let's think about that second criminal in the way that he speaks, in the reality that he names, and the mercy he asks for. Because I know how the world is. I have seen the harm. I understand the importance of accountability. And no one and no system has any right in deciding who is beyond redemption. Today, will you be with me in paradise? What a promise. Not a promise of the nails disappearing, but rather a promise that the nails will not have the last word. And that is a word of every mother waiting by her phone, waiting on that call. For every community that has been reshaped by authority, for every person who wonders if God has forgotten about the people in the cages. And here is the gospel truth, that God has not forgotten, nor will God ever forget, because God is here, God is with us, and God always remembers. Amen.